better put him in the Heisman.
Got that award right here, baby.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Bud Light Seltzer for those anytime easy drinking occasions.
They're going to run and get that boot.
The Arkansas Razorbacks have completed the dream season.
A baseball team that's on the way back, a College World Series title.
I almost got fired because I went Willie the Boss after I had a little too much sauce.
This is the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast.
Arkansas opened as a 9.5-point favorite against the Vanderbilt Commodores tomorrow night on Five Dimes. It's since moved down to 8.5. I thought that was a little high, to be honest. Especially with
Arkansas
the
favored by 8.5.
Especially with the way that how Vanderbilt's going to be playing emotionally, how they played better as of late. I know that Arkansas is the better basketball team, but as we've heard from Eric Musselman in the press conference this week, and we'll get in some audio from him in just a sec, this is not going to be an easy game tomorrow night.
Maybe I'm just jaded by the results of what I've seen this year, but I just don't have like an overwhelming, oh, this is going to be easy. This is a game Arkansas should win by double digits. I just don't have that feeling. I've kind of like, well, this game is 50-50 to me. And 8.5 seems like a lot to me. Mm-hmm. It's all going to depend on, can Musselman get these guys to play with a sense of urgency early? How hungry are they to be there for 3 or 4 days? How tired are they at this point? There's just a lot of factors that go into this. But if they play down to their competition, if Arkansas plays to Vanderbilt's level rather than making Vanderbilt come to their level, Arkansas's stay in Nashville will be short-lived.
Correct.
And that's what they've done more than a few times this year. They've played to the level of the competition. And Arkansas's just not that good. They're not good enough to do that and get away with it.
And he's mentioned that several times this year. So unless Arkansas wins the SEC tournament, you're going to the NIT. Now, Mid-Major Madness, SB Nation's site that covers the NIT, as Arkansas, as the number one seed. So I'll put this to you. If Arkansas gets a number one seed or a number two seed in the NIT, is there going to be enough fan support where Bud Walton's a decent atmosphere throughout that postseason tournament, or is it just going to be dead?
Oh, I don't think you're going to get 15 or 17,000 there, at least it would depend on the opponent. A lot of times I'll never forget what, 1987-ish, when Arkansas played Arkansas State in Barnhill. I know that's before you were even born. It was an NIT game. And I remember that game because I was supposed to go, but I got sick. And my dad, my brother, and a bunch of family got to go, and I got to stay home with Mom and throw up and watch it on TV. And I was so heartbroken because getting to go to Barnhill was such a huge deal because you couldn't. And now they're playing in the NIT, and you get a ticket, and you get in, and Dad had gotten tickets, and we're going to go. And I was so excited, I didn't get to go. And it just depends on who you play. I mean, I think this committee could very possibly match up Arkansas and UALR or something in this deal. Mm-hmm. They didn't win the Sun Belt, did they? I think so. But may have misspoke there. But they make matchups that matter. Texas may not get in. You could see an advanced round of this tournament where Arkansas and Texas could play. So if the matchup presents excitement, you'll have 12 or 15,000 there.
So you mentioned the Arkansas State-Arkansas matchup. We actually had Bob Holt on halftime a couple months back, and he really dove into that story. Mm-hmm. So there was
Nolan's job was on the line.
Correct.
In the game.
A lot of pressure for those who don't remember. And obviously, I wasn't alive. I'm just going off what Bob told us.
Went to overtime.
Correct. And Arkansas did not play well initially in that game. They got up to a hot start. Arkansas State was up pretty big at one point during the game. And Nolan was assured that his job would not be contingent on a win or loss in this game. But there were some people, and Bob thinks that he saved his job because there would have been such an embarrassment to lose to Arkansas State.
Well, because Frank Broyles was in his heyday as the AD at that point, and Arkansas's staunch policy of not playing Arkansas State was well known, but now you're in a postseason setup and you don't have control over it, and you don't play these guys, and now you're forced to play them. You can't lose a game like that. If you have a policy, you're not going to play. So that game had a lot of pressure on it. Mm-hmm. You've already had somewhat of a disappointing season because you weren't in the field. in the big dance. So, I mean, yeah, I mean, that was there was a lot of pressure on Nolan then.
When did the Arkansas women lose to, was it Eula or A-State?
Oh, that was in, that was A-State, because yeah. A-State made videos of it. Early 2000s, I want to say.
Okay. Was that NIT or NCAA tournament?
That was NIT.
Okay.
WNIT.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not as depth or as
I can't remember the name. I'm going to say that's been 15 years ago.
Okay. So, I mean, you think about as an Arkansas fan, how, and I have buddies that went to A-State and they do not like the Arkansas Razorbacks. I actually have a buddy, you think about a guy that would hate the Razorbacks, went to undergrad at A-State, now goes to graduate school at Ole Miss. So there's a complete like hatred for the Arkansas, even though, and he's not from here, he's originally from Wisconsin, but there's a complete hatred for the Arkansas Razorback because those two schools, one thinks it's a rival in Arkansas State, the other one, Ole Miss, is actually a rival. So there's a complete hatred and a complete disdain for the Arkansas Razorbacks. But I remember Bob telling us that story, and I was just in awe, like, what could have happened if Arkansas had lost that game and stupidly, after just a rash decision, fired Nolan Richardson? Where would your basketball program be right now? Like, you've gone through some mediocre years, and you've had some bad years, but can you imagine what little history you would have if he wasn't your head basketball coach? And I know he had some great years.
1987, I believe I'm right on that. It's 87, 88, somewhere in there. 1990, you go to the Final Four. Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't long after that.
Yep.
Todd Daley, Mayberry, Oliver Miller took you to the Final Four.
Christian Laettner was on that Duke team, right?
He was a freshman that year.
But he's still a stud. Like, that's
they played in Denver. I believe that's right.
They did.
And I know they played in Denver. I believe he was a freshman.
Okay.
Certain they played in Denver. But yeah, I mean, Arkansas got beat in the national semifinals by Duke.
Yeah. Incredible basketball player. One of the greatest college basketball players to ever have graced this. Sir, Tommy, you brought up matchups a little while ago. So this is very interesting on where mid-major matches madness has you. Second round, you know who you'd play if this team won?
Tell me.
St. John's Red Storm.
Well, and that's what this committee will do. Now, keep in mind, the NCAA now owns the NIT, but okay. They will do this because that's what TV needs to make it interesting. They'll set things up that are like this. So Arkansas versus Mike Anderson. This isn't Arkansas versus St. John's. It's Arkansas versus Mike Anderson.
Correct. They also have, so UConn, they have UConn seeded against St. John's at a 4-5 seed. That would also be very interesting if Dan Hurley, the brother of Bobby Hurley, former Duke point guard, played. Mm-hmm. Because you talk about two animated coaches on the sideline between Hurley and Musselman. I think that would be very fun. Our buddy Aaron Torres, I think, would have a fascinating time covering that game. Other team that would be interesting in this seeding, Memphis Tigers.
Yeah.
They'd be a 2 seed in this projected seeding. And what a game that would be. When's the last time you haven't played Memphis since Cal was the coach, correct? It's been that long.
Probably right.
Yeah. Yeah. I believe someone correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you played Memphis since Cal was the coach.
You used to play them all the time.
Correct. And Cal didn't want.
Yes, they're coming up in football down the road. But,
mm-hmm. But basketball is really the telltale sign. Tommy, I was reading something yesterday, and I you probably would know about this. Was Penny Hardaway at one time committed to Arkansas?
Well, I don't remember that.
Okay, because I was reading something, and again, I read a lot of stuff, so it could be fabricated, it could be untrue, but I was reading something that, like, he was committed up to National Signing Day and then chose Memphis instead. Now, he's a Memphis kid,
right?
Staying close to home and stuff, but
I could be wrong about that. I don't remember that, but that didn't, you know, that would have been way before recruiting was really covered the way it is today.
And you remember some of Penny's comments earlier this year when Eric Musselman was going after Chris Moore, and he'll continue to dip into Memphis because of how popular of a basketball city that is. There's an interesting, and it's not like a true rivalry, because it seems like that Penny and Mus like each other based on the conversations they've had. Mm-hmm. Now, Penny and Cal hate each other. Penny and Rick Barnes hate each other. But there's a mutual respect between Mus and Penny. And I know that many people are disappointed with the way the Tiger scene has ended based on what happened with James Wiseman playing, not playing, and then deciding to call it quits with this tournament. That's a city that Arkansas needs to continue to go after, because yep. It's a decent football city, but basketball, you could build a D1 basketball national championship level team with kids just inside the 901. That's how talented the city of Memphis is when it comes to their basketball recruits.
It makes you wonder why Memphis hasn't done it more consistently, and the answer is they just hadn't found the right coach.
Yeah, when you had the right coach in John Calipari, you went to a national championship. Now, you lost because you couldn't hit your free throws, but you had the right guy. Josh Pastner, Tubby Smith, and now I don't... And I love Penny Hardaway. I love those Orlando Magic teams, and I hate that he had that knee injury or whatever that kind of deterred his career, but... The jury's still out on if he can get it done, which is good for Arkansas, right? Because you don't want...
Oh, no, you don't want them to be a regional power.
Correct.
Because then, particularly kids in the eastern side of the state, you mentioned Chris Moore, who plays at West Memphis, but that will infiltrate the state. And where is some of the best talent in Arkansas for basketball?
East.
It's east and south. It's not west and north.
Mm-hmm.
That's just the facts.
Yeah. And so on that note, we're talking about how Arkansas could be impacted by a lesser Memphis squad and a lesser Memphis coach to go get kids in there. Well, the inverse is the same way. If Memphis is really good, then they're going to go get kids inside of Arkansas. We know the talent inside this state in terms of basketball. So you don't want other people reaching in the honey jar, Winnie the Pooh, and going to get your guys. Like, the again, you want to build a wall around the state in both basketball, football, and baseball. And Memphis being good at basketball, Tommy, makes that a little bit harder. So you just, and like, if Ole Miss was better at basketball with Kirby Davis, is he all of a sudden gets that thing really good, it's going to be harder. So not only do you root for your own state and your own program success, you root for the team surrounding you and the school surrounding you to not be good.
Right. You know, just like, I don't think it's going to hurt Arkansas, but like Tulsa this year, they're having a really good year. Mm-hmm. They're won the regular season championship in the American Athletic Conference. I always get the AAC. You got to say that slowly enough to not confuse people, but the AAC. So, you know, there's a team that may end up in the postseason, and you're not, you know, depending on how their tournament goes.
Yeah, and that's, again, a team you beat earlier this
year.
Yeah. So you would... That's why you, like, you look at that game, you look at the Indiana win, you look at the Georgia Tech win, the wins that look better on their schedule now than they did at the time, and you go back, I thought Tom Murphy, who we'll have on in about 30 minutes coming up at 7:15, he laid it out perfectly, and he'll probably lay it out again. The fact that you continuously cringe when you look back at the schedule this year, what could have been, you get a win there, you get a win there, IJ's not injured in this game or this game or this game. You're just like, man, this team was so close, a game or two away from being in true NCAA tournament contention. Now, would they probably have to win a game or two in this week in the SEC tournament to get there? I'd say so, based on the bracketology and based on the lack of conference depth so far this season and how lower it is compared to last year and the year before. But it just hurts looking back in the schedule when you were so close to being back in the NCAA tournament.
Hey, I want to talk to business owners for just a second. Business owners, business managers, are you the person at your business that makes the decisions about internet service and the technologies that are involved in your business? If you are, then you know how important it is and how critical it is to have reliable internet service and a provider you can count on when there is an issue to resolve that issue fast. That's why here at the Morning Rush Studios, we have went with Pinnacle Telecom. They got a fast fiber network that's their own fiber. So if there's ever an issue, they can quickly fix it. They don't need to call a national company because it's not something they're reselling. It's their own fiber in 95% of cases. Call Pinnacle Telecom, 479-242-0000. Not only can they take care of fast fiber internet that's brought to your business, buried underground in most cases, not susceptible to storms and damage that would limit your service in the most critical times, but they also can do business telephone systems with all the latest features, voice over IP, and all the features that go along with that. Call Pinnacle Telecom. If it's time for a change at your business in your office, it's time for Pinnacle Telecom. 479-242-0000.
Many of you have been asking, what's the approach? How's this team going about the SEC tournament? Here's Eric Musselman on that.
I mean, it's utterly insanity to talk about four games in 4 days or five. I mean, that's ludicrous. We have one game, and if you don't win that one game, then talking about anything beyond Wednesday is senseless. We have a one-game season. If we're able to advance and win that game, we'll get ready for the next game, and then so on and so forth. To do anything other than figure out how to beat Vanderbilt would not be very smart, and that's the same thing for anybody that plays on Wednesday. It's the same thing that anybody plays on Thursday. Like, if you're thinking about anything else, then you know, good luck to you.
This team is not good enough to look ahead past anyone, whether it's Vanderbilt, who is the worst team in the conference this year. That's the mentality. That's the mindset. That's the type of approach that you have to take if you're Eric Musselman, this coaching staff, and these players, because your time in Nashville could be short-lived if you don't come completely focused and ready to play on Wednesday night.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. And it's easy, I think, for coaches to get in that mindset. It's probably harder to get the players to
project it to the players, yeah.
To take it from the coaching staff to the players. And, you know, these guys' minds, particularly if you're Mason Jones and Isaiah Joe, and even some of these other players that might be thinking about transfer portal, you don't know what's in these guys' minds. What is the sense of urgency? Because that's really what Eric Musselman's trying to draw out of each and every one of these players, is a true sense of urgency. Now you've got a situation where, guys, if you don't win, you know, you're really limiting our future opportunities here, your future to play, to build your resume. So, you know, that's probably the hardest part of coaching, is to get the right mind frame for your team, right mindset.
So depending on what happens in the SEC tournament, can you see a scenario to what you saw with Daniel Gafford last year, where Isaiah Joe or Mason Jones, depending on what their NBA plans are, what they plan to do following the season, could you see them sitting out an NIT game?
No. I really couldn't. I mean, is there any history to say that guys are going to just, healthy players, just sit the postseason in basketball?
Daniel Gafford last year.
Yeah, but I mean, Gafford was a surefire, I understand, but he was a lock for the NBA, right?
I think Isaiah, I mean, based on every mock draft, Isaiah is a lock for the NBA.
It seems like we were talking about Gafford and his NBA projection. I mean, for me, there's not a precedent for guys at this level. Gafford's just a different conversation from a year ago.
I think if you look at the NBA projections where certain people are drafted or where...
There's just not, and I say there's not a lot of press. This isn't like football where you have 30 or 40 guys or whatever. There's a bunch. How many was it? There's more than a few dozen that set out some bowl games in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
In the last 2 or 3 years. Probably 3 dozen players over the last couple of years. Has there been that many in basketball? I know Gafford did last year at Arkansas. In the NIT.
I think you just always look close to home. And the most prime example that just dating back to last year is Daniel Gafford doing the exact same thing.
I'm just trying to figure out, is this a widespread issue in basketball?
I can't think of it. I just know that specific example last year and where Isaiah is projected.
I just can't see these guys not playing, but I didn't
think one of them not playing.
I guess maybe Isaiah Joe because of the knee problem he has had. I can't see Mason Jones not playing, but I don't know. What do I know? I'm just sitting here guessing.
I just think that's also something you're going to have to think about in the NIT, is that possibility. Does it happen necessarily? I don't know. I don't know what's going through Isaiah's head right now. I don't know what's going through Mason's head right now. I tend to be in your camp where if there was a guy to do it over another, it would probably be Isaiah over Mason.
I mean, there's risk of injury in anything, but the risk of injury in football and playing in another bowl game in football, the risk of injury in football is just higher than basketball, right?
Correct, because the contact that you face.
Because of the nature of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I just don't think this is going to be something that we discuss a lot in basketball. And this team went out, and guess what? Gafford didn't play last year, and they went and won a game.
And beat Providence on the road. Ed Cooley's squad, yeah. So that...
I don't think this team could win without Jones and Joe. And probably without, depending on who you're playing.
Now, when you say win, do you mean like the whole thing, or are you just talking about the first game?
If this team didn't have both those guys, they wouldn't win one game. Not one.
Yeah, even if they're the one seed, they're matched up in the 8th seed.
Well, that'd be disappointing, wouldn't it?
Of the talent. If you got knocked out, bounced in the the first round. I know Eric Musselman would be very highly disappointed at that.
Gafford, the conversation about Gafford a year ago at this time, there was no doubt he was leaving. We were sitting here discussing this 12 months ago, and no one in their minds was even holding hope that he would be back. I guess there were some, but the reasonable fan knew he was gone.
See, I thought the same about Rakeem Boyd and that he decided to come back. So, and I thought Michael Qualls was for sure coming back, and I thought Bobby was gone, and they both left. This is probably the most difficult, one of the more difficult things to do in sports radio is decide if a guy's leaving or not.
I mean, because only he can decide.
Yeah, because you have no personal, like, there's very few sports media members within the state of Arkansas or outside of the state of Arkansas that have personal connections to that said person. Now, you might know the mom, you might know the dad, you might know a best friend or something, but these relationships, typically, there's not a lot of them, like, me to you. Mm-hmm. It's more indirectly where you know someone. Hey, I think this person may tell you, hey, I think he's going to do this. I think he's going to do that. And that's why it's going to be a fascinating storyline after the season concludes, what Isaiah Joe and what Mason Jones do.
Well, what you're asking is, their season going to conclude before the teams?
Yes. Because they're after the SEC tournament. Is that the last game that you see either
shut her down,
Isaiah Joe or Mason Jones? And you may not be a fan that we're bringing up this conversation, but the fact is, it's a pertinent conversation that could actually happen.
People got their feelings hurt last year when Daniel Gafford did that. Now that you bring this up, what did those two guys learn from watching Gafford do that? They were teammates, right? Mm-hmm. So a year ago, both on the team with him and watched him hang it up. What were their feelings as teammates then, and would they want to put their current teammates in that position now?
And I think Mason still has a lot more to prove than Isaiah does based on where these guys are seated in the mocks. It's not, I mean, that's just where you're at right now. Even if Mason wins SEC Player of the Year, co-SEC Player of the Year today, he still has a lot more to prove to if he can project at the next level.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a premium light lager brewed with real lemonade.
He does a tightrope act. Boy, Houdini's in the house, wearing number 3, and nobody's home to watch that house. Touchdown, Hogs! Holy Hog!
Tom, looking ahead to the SEC tournament, and I guess you got Grand Canyon also going to be paying attention to tonight and tomorrow in the Midweek Series. Where are you thinking Arkansas, as far as they can go? Is there a day or a finals that you think that's their cap-off point and they can't make it any farther than that?
Well, when you look at their past, I mean, beating Vanderbilt in Nashville, somewhat difficult, but, you know, you beat them by 20 earlier this year. I know they're playing their best ball, but they're the worst team in the conference by record. Next round, South Carolina. They shot the lights out and had a great game here. That looks like a game you could possibly win. And then LSU, which, you know, has been up and down, and Arkansas had a real chance to beat them in Baton Rouge. So the problem is those games would be on consecutive days, and you're talking about having probably the thinnest bench in the conference and the shortest roster. So I think it's going to be hard to do. I think they should be able to beat Vanderbilt, and I don't see any reason why they can't beat South Carolina, but I think game 3 is where they start to run out of steam. And in terms of net rankings, if they were to win those first 3, I don't think the first 2, I don't think you move the needle very much, but if you beat LSU, then you got another quadrant 1 win, and certainly they're on the wrong side of the bubble right now, and they'd have to, you know, at least win 3 to have a chance.
So, Tom, you mentioned that. Do neutral, because I know LSU is not top 30 at this point. Do neutral site games, I know we've talked about road games, your top 75 in the net rankings. Is neutral site, is that 50? Do we know about that? Because I don't, honestly.
I haven't checked into that, but it's a top level team in the SEC, and I'm not sure if it's top 50 on neutral or what number it is.
It is 50 on neutral.
Yeah, 30 when you're at home, 50 neutral, 75 road.
Okay, yeah. That's why I just kind of meant the middle. That's what I figured it was. So
yeah. So obviously a big week. I mean, we've been discussing throughout the morning about the future of Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones. And, you know, last year, and Ty reminded everyone last year, Daniel Gafford sitting out for the NIT. I can't imagine those two guys coming to that conclusion, or either one of those guys coming to that conclusion if Arkansas is in the NIT, which we presume they will, Tom. Do you think there could be one of the star players on this team forego the NIT like Gafford did a year ago?
Man, I sure hope not. I mean, it's risk of injury is low, and I'm sure some of the people around Daniel might have been talking to him about, you know, going after his freshman year. So I would hope not. I'm hearing different things from different people. There's a chance that they could get one or both of those guys back this year, mm-hmm. next year. So I don't know. We'll wait and see if that happens.
They just don't feel like the pro basketball locks that Gafford was a year ago. I mean, I don't think there was a lot of doubt about Gafford's future a year ago. We were hoping he'd stay, but it seemed more like a foregone conclusion than it does with these two guys.
Yeah, we were talking about a lottery pick for Daniel Gafford last year. And, you know, I think Mason Jones has really enjoyed having a super breakout year. And I'd like to see he or Isaiah stay with the squad through the end of the season.
Obviously, there's work to do this week in Nashville. You'd like to see this team probably not going to win the SEC tournament. That'd be an historic run to win 5 in 5 days with this team. But, you know, win a few games and maybe get to the, you know, maybe get to Friday's action, play LSU, maybe get, you know, get somewhere deeper in this tournament and hang out for a few days. What kind of excitement do you think that would build for potential home games in the NIT? What kind of excitement do you think would build in this state if Arkansas was to host a couple more games at Bud Walton Arena?
Well, I think they like the character of this team and the fight of it and kind of the underdog mentality because their roster has been so limited. And I think there'd be a handy crowd no matter how many games they play at home. In some ways, it's been a bit of a disappointment because they were 11-1 to enter conference play, and it just felt like they were going to finish higher than they were picked, 11th. And as it turns out, they finished tied for 10th and seeded 11th in the conference. So at least the preseason prognosticators were pretty on target with them. And I do believe, you know, Eric Musselman made a big deal out of, well, you can manage a roster in college when you only have, I want to say, you know, you're playing a rotation of 7 or 8. You got a couple of guys sitting out who are transferring. You can manage that. But the SEC is a little bit of a different beast. And I do think the grind of the conference this year may not have been I think it may have been a little bit more difficult than Eric Musselman might have envisioned.
Tom, the SEC, all SEC teams are going to be released today. I believe the SEC Player of the Year is going to be announced as well. What's your gut feeling on where Isaiah Joe and Mason Jones end up on those lists and potentially Mason's candidacy for Player of the Year?
Yeah, well, I think Jones is a no-doubt first-teamer. Joe missing the games that he did, not shooting the three as well as he did last year, possibly second team. I think the coaches do about a 9-man first team, and they, I don't even know how they determine what they come to, 9 on the first team, maybe even 9 on the second. But the AP one will be a three-team, 5-man per team deal. So Joe could be possibly third team from the media, or that would be AP. And I think Jones has a very strong candidacy, depending on your definition of, you know, the most outstanding player, you know, player of the year. But having heard the entire SEC coaches teleconference yesterday, I get the sense that Emmanuel Quickley for Kentucky, the highest scoring player on the conference champion team, has a better chance to win it than Jones, but he got a complimentary dialogue from all the coaches yesterday who were, Bob Holt was asking him, and Ben Howland in particular really talked Mason Jones up. He's transformed his body and made himself into one of the best players in the conference. And I could see where there's some media who might vote for Mason Jones because of the sheer number, just the scoring potential of the guy. I mean, he's a volume scorer, as Mike White called him yesterday. and he's had a phenomenal year with all the 30-point games and a couple 40s.
So, Tom, is that fair to Mason? I mean, you talk about Quickley. Quickley's playing alongside Richards, Hagans, and a bunch of other McDonald's All-Americans in Lexington. Mason Jones, like he's had Isaiah for some who's going to be an NBA guy, but he hasn't had a lot of help for the majority of the season. Maybe it's because I went to the University of Arkansas and have a little like passion for that, but do you think that's fair to Mason Jones to give it to Emmanuel Quickley, who has so much more talent surrounding him, which makes his job easier?
Well, I see where you're going with that, but I just don't think the voters parse it quite as, you know, I don't think they break it down quite as much as that.
Okay.
I mean, I think voters around the rest of the SEC will look, yeah, Jones, great scorer. The team went 7-11 in conference. And Kentucky, on the other hand, was 15-3. And I just think that, and Quickley, when you watched during the middle portion of the year when they caught up and then passed LSU and Auburn, Quickley, late in games, was in tight games, had the ball in his hands, and he just drove. He got to the foul line. He made key shots in game after game, and he played like an MVP. There are other cases. I mean, I think Mason Jones has a very strong case. I just don't know if enough voters are going to parse it like that. And, hey, if you're doing that, Reggie Perry, with his number of double-doubles, I think 17 this year, has been a big-time producer on a team that has phenomenal offensive efficiency.
So, Tommy, if you remember, Quickley was the one that had his ears, his fingers in his ears. And he went 3-for-14 against Arkansas, Tom. So it's not like that he was spectacular against them, but like you said, he's picked it up as of late.
He had a bad game here, but a lot of other good games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It seems like to me, Ty, if you had a vote, you're all over the Mason Jones.
Well, Tom, I go back, like the Darren McFadden thing still stings me to this day. The controversy surrounding that award, and so I hold over from that. So that's kind of where I reside. And I like Mason, so it's hard to overlook that. Yeah. So,
well, honestly, Darren McFadden should have won the Heisman Trophy the year that Troy Smith of Ohio State won it.
Mm-hmm.
But Troy Smith of Ohio State got the Midwest vote. And that's a strong voting block. And I thought the following year that Tim Tebow was a stronger choice. He scored 50-something touchdowns. So, but, yeah, Madden got ripped off out of one Heisman.
Yeah. Tom Murphy with us here on a Toyota Tuesday. Check out the all-new 2020 Toyota vehicles at your local Toyota dealer, including the Highlander with plenty of room for up to 8, and the stylish new Corolla, and the work-ready family tough Tundra. Toyota with the all-new 4Runner. Toyota, let's go places. Tom, let's talk a little midweek baseball, because Arkansas is going to take on Grand Canyon and the Antelopes. And a lot of people are probably looking past this series playing the name game. Heard Ruskin and Zach comparing RPIs at this point in the season. Both of these teams in the 60s, Arkansas like 4 spots ahead of Grand Canyon coming to this week. This may be a little tighter midweek series than people are thinking it will be.
Yeah, they've had some good series. They play some tough teams. They play Stanford already and some other good teams. The pitcher that they're throwing, the left-hander, has an 8 ERA on Tuesday, and neither team has announced their starter on Wednesday. But, yeah, after the little stretch Arkansas went through, there are some questions. How deep does their pitching run? Can Patrick Wicklander get it back together? That doesn't apply to this series, obviously. But then there's, you know, what's the depth of the batting order? Robert Moore, bad first weekend, great second weekend, and he's slowed down since then. Casey Martin seemed to have got it back together by cutting down on the leg kick he had and doing the toe tap. Had a couple of huge games, but he's slowed down a little bit since then. So right now it's the Christian Franklin and Heston Kerstad show carrying the order at the very top. And Matt Goodhart, it seemed to me like, was rounding into better form after last weekend. So I believe it's a really good test. And of course, they're going to start the right-hander, the freshman Will McIntyre, who had a nice debut, and some of their pitching depths are going to be tested, because we don't know for sure who's going to start Wednesday, nor so if Connor Nolan is back, you have him and Wicklander, and then who do you go with? Caleb Bolden,
mm-hmm.
who had a really good start against South Alabama. You keep Cole Ramage on Sunday. So one of those two will probably start the Wednesday game. And then Dave Van Horn mentioned that Kevin Copps who's had a few rough outings, needs to get back out there, and maybe they change his role and make him a starter. So he's possibly a potential for Wednesday start.
Arkansas sits at 14th, 15th, or 16th, depending on which baseball poll you're looking at. Seems like they need to gain a little confidence, even though they're a top 15 team, before they go this weekend to Starkville. Mississippi State right now sits at number 17 in the poll. That seems like a critical Western Division series this weekend that will probably have some bearing on things come May.
I think so. And these teams have been sweeping each other with pretty good regularity. I'm not looking at the stats now, but I want to say at least the last 3 years, it's been sweeps. And I love the way Dave Van Horn, when he talks to the Swatters Club, the way he talks about it, he goes through the schedule and he goes, and we're going to open conference play at Mississippi State. They don't like us very much. And I just love the way he gets the crowd kind of engaged in their way of thinking. And it's true. I don't think Mississippi State likes Arkansas very much. And Arkansas had a really nice sweep here to open the season. So the Bulldogs will be lying in wait for Arkansas. It should be a great series. They just need to get more from their starting pitchers, and they got to get Patrick Wicklander locating his off-speed pitches a little better to last longer in games.
Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette joins us every Tuesday and Thursday at 7:15. Tom, appreciate it as always, and we'll talk on Thursday, man.
You betcha. Sounds great. Y'all have a great weekend.
I'm excited for March Madness coming up, yeah. Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, I think it, you know, obviously it'd be more exciting if Arkansas's in the tournament.
Correct.
Not looking very likely at this point, but I think we still get excited about, even if it's in the NIT, depending on the matchups, we'll be excited about that.
So Awful Now Team came out with this press release yesterday. The March Madness app,
yeah,
they're doing a double box this year where you can watch two games at once, which I'm going to be ecstatic about. And we're going to tease. We got something cooking here at the radio station that we'll be doing next week.
Going to be back to maybe involving some wings again.
Yeah, it's just some wings.
We'll be telling you about a place maybe you can come eat and eat a lot of wings for not a lot of money next week.
And I've heard good things about that. I wasn't here when y'all first did, but I've heard good things.
Yep. Hey, spring camping season's almost here, and the folks at Razorback Camper Sales are ready for you. Not only do they have a great selection of travel trailers, fifth wheels, and pop-ups, but Razorback Camper Sales offers full prep and setup at no extra cost, so you can leave the lot and start camping immediately. They also have the best parts and service departments you're going to find around. And Razorback Camper Sales is the oldest family-owned RV dealer in Arkansas. They've been in business for over 50 years. Hey, find out why customers are always happy campers at Razorback Camper Sales. Exit 1 off of the bypass in Hot Springs, and always online at RazorbackCamperSales.com.
Is next Thursday and Friday the least productive day in sports, or is it the Super Bowl?
Least productive work day?
Or the day after the Super Bowl?
Probably next Thursday and Friday.
You think it is? Over the hangover that you'll get?
Well, it's 2 days.
Okay.
And
but technically, you're...
And really, I think it eats into your week because everybody's sitting around the office trying to either pick a bracket or show off their bracket. Bracket talk consumes a lot of the conversation, which probably should be consumed with work.
The great thing about our jobs is that are entirely focused on NCAA tournament during the week, like in our weekend. Like the show on Thursday and Friday will be a lot of NCAA tournament talk next week. But
Laura, I got to watch these games. It's work.
Unfortunately, I have to be up from sun up to sun down.
Because that's all I got. That's all I can do.
I will literally watch college basketball, Tommy, from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. that night.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just fun. Yeah. Is it so? I made it pretty apparent. For me, it's basketball, football, baseball. Those are the rankings of sports. Soccer's, probably soccer's tied with baseball, maybe a little above it. So, on that note, is this your favorite time of the year? Because this is easily postseason college basketball. There's nothing like it to me.
It's hard to beat. Now, you get that point in October. That's pretty good where you've got football converging with the World Series. I mean,
that's Phil's favorite time. Yeah.
You know, it's just a lot going on that time of year. And college football is really good. Pro football going on. So that's a pretty good point. But this one's another good one where you've got NCAA tournament games, March Madness, which is really one of the best sporting events in America. And then one of my favorites, the Masters, comes right on the heels.
On CBS.
Right on the heels of it. So, yeah, I mean, it's hard to beat.
Let's go to the phone lines. Joe is in Fayetteville. Joe, you're on the Morning Rush.
Hey, guys. I just wanted to get your thoughts on this, and I know it may be blown out of proportion a little, or what do you guys think, but do you think any March Madness games will be held without fans? What do you think will come down to that because of the coronavirus going around?
So
that's all I wanted to know.
Joe, appreciate the call, man. USA Today had the statement released from the NCAA. We touched on it yesterday. That would be the worst-case scenario. Now, I know in Italy right now, there's
just canceling events.
Correct. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on. It's the coronavirus. I'm not a doctor, and I don't follow the research much. I just know that it's not as prevalent right now in the United States as it is in certain areas.
Italy, it's really bad right now.
Mm-hmm. So it's not affecting. At this point in time, the SEC tournament this week and the NCAA tournament is going to go according to plan. By according to plan, I mean that they're going to have fans in the arena. Now, they're going to probably take precautionary measures, Tommy, like, I don't know, hand sanitizer. They'll have different cleaning stations, I bet. They're going to do everything they can to prohibit.
Well, doing nothing would be irresponsible.
Correct, but
having hand sanitizer dispensers, and that stuff's becoming harder and harder to get. The product's becoming thin.
Is it?
Because there's so much demand, yeah.
So that's something to keep an eye on, just how they go about the different changes to this.
So let me ask you this. As a 25-year-old young man, new to this business, excited
about... Good-looking, young, healthy. Yeah, keep going.
Who else was I talking about? Anyway, you're going to Nashville this week.
Mm-hmm.
Big metropolitan area. You're going to be around a lot of people that you don't know. You don't know where they've been. You don't know they wash their hands. You don't know, I mean, every doorknob you touch. Do you have the slightest bit of apprehension at all?
I didn't until now.
About going to Nashville and just being amongst all of these people that are converging from all parts of the South and the country and wherever to be at this event. Does it concern you? Do you have any concern?
Not until right now, you brought it up.
All right. I'm just wondering if... I mean, it wouldn't be enough right now to keep me from going, but would it change the way I might be more diligent about washing my hands, using hand Purell more? I don't know. I mean, I think we're all thinking about things like, do I need... But
not making out with a random girl?
No. Exactly. That might be one thing you want to add to the list. Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So, I mean, I just wondered, you know, but 25-year-olds probably don't think anything's going to affect them.
I mean, I don't know. This sounds stupid. I shower every day. I wash my hands when I leave the bathroom. I try not to touch my eye. It's like you're not supposed to touch your eyes or your face that much, apparently.
Right.
One
way to keep the spread down.
My buddies just got tickets from Fayetteville, Northwest Arkansas, to Nashville. Those cheap tickets I were talking about.
On Allegiant. Yeah.
Correct. So, I mean, I have a bunch of buddies that live down there. It is a huge metropolitan. I didn't think about it until right now. As long as I don't do anything vastly stupid, which, by the way, I'm not...
Wouldn't keep me from going.
Yeah. So, and I need to let you know this before we talk about Gaston's. Not a drop of alcohol will touch my lips until 9:01 a.m. on Friday. I'm just letting you know. Just
using a straw, huh?
Yeah. Not a drop of alcohol will touch my lips, my tongue, whatever part of my body... until after the show on Friday, because that's the type of man you hire, Tommy.
All right, now for the honest part of the program here. I want to tell you about Gaston's White River Resort. Greg Gibson, who is a listener of ours, pardon me, I want to thank him. He sent me a great picture from the weekend where, pardon me, man, this cough is eating me up. I don't know if I can get through this. He was at Gaston's. You may have to do this.
Greg Gibson was at Gaston's. Probably sent you an awesome picture of a fish or something, right?
No, fireplace.
Oh.
Damn. The fireplace. He was sitting in front of the fireplace at Gaston's, feet propped up watching basketball.
It's the way to do it.
Pretty awesome. You could be doing that too at Gaston's. 870-431-5202. It's enough to get you choked up. Gaston's White River Resort. A first-class time, every time.
You're listening to the Bud Light Seltzer Morning Rush Podcast. Try the new Bud Light Lemonade, a light and flavorful beer for those easy drinking occasions.
The crowd's into it. They just threw him out of the game. They just threw him out of the game. He's gotten his second technical, and he's been thrown out of the ball game.
So since arriving at ESPN Arkansas and Pearson Broadcasting, I've had the belief that you can pretty much expense anything because all you have to do is write a report.
Yeah.
And get it signed off and you're good to go.
Mm-hmm. It's the getting it signed off on part.
Yeah. It's been difficult.
Yeah.
And I'll say this. So neighbors tricked me when we were in SEC media days because what he told me is he's like, yeah, everything you spend, regardless of beer, regardless of whatever, just put in a expense. And so when you remember that show, right? You were ripping me a new you-know-what that morning.
He set you up.
He set me up completely.
He set you up.
And I'm just staring at him like, you 100% meant to do this, dude. And so
and he did.
And Tommy, like, Tommy's pulling out these receipts. And again, I'm just going by what John told me to do, put every single receipt in there. And so I have these bar tabs. I have a lift.
Massive bar tabs.
They weren't that massive. I've like most, actually, when we were down there, a cute girl bought most of my White Claws. So we were down there.
I told the last part there.
Yeah, whatever. So we're down there, and I'm just putting all this stuff in a baggie. And then we pull it out the next day, and I'm not kidding. I got grilled that Friday for doing what I was told. And so I think I've learned my lesson, so we're going to find out. So I've come up with a list of stuff that I potentially am going to do in Nashville. And I want your permission to not, if
want,
I can expense it.
You want prior
it.
Approval, huh?
Yes, correct. So let's go and get into it. The first one I want to ask if I can expense. Can you expense my bail if I assault a Kentucky fan down there? Will you expense that?
Ooh.
And pay the lawyer fees as well.
On a Kentucky fan?
On a Kentucky
and,
fan.
Well, the last part, the paying the lawyer fees, that could get expensive.
Well, Kevin will do it for free. He'll go pro bono with us.
I don't know if he's licensed in the state of Tennessee.
He'll listen for me and for us. He would get licensed. He would go whatever he had to do. He would go through the different not measures, but whatever he had to do to get that. So you wouldn't pay the lawyer fees, but you pay bail.
I would consider bail.
Okay.
His bail wouldn't be awful if it was on a Kentucky fan.
Okay.
But I know you're too soft to create and instigate assault. You are way too soft for that. Jenkins, maybe.
Yes.
You, no.
So
I'll sit on him.
You're almost setting me up. You almost want me to prove you wrong. And so I might next, if I see the first Wildcat fan I see down there, I might just hit straight in the face. It has to be a guy because I'm not hitting a girl.
Well, I hope so. That would lead to a whole other conversation.
But if I see a Kentucky fan antagonizing another Arkansas fan, I might just go up and hit them square in the mouth.
You're all talk. You're all hat, no cattle.
Yeah, all bark, no bite. Let's see. All right, so Nashville, Tennessee, land of the music, Music City.
Mm-hmm.
Do I get a expensive concert down there? What if it's
who
what,
would it be? It had to be someone I like
okay.
because if it was someone I've never heard of. Or you went to some rap concert, the answer would be no.
What if it was like George Strait Alan Jackson?
Oh.
Okay.
Yeah, yes, sir.
So if one of those guys were performing at the Ryman or the Downtown.
I don't think George Strait's doing the Ryman anymore, but you never know.
I have no idea. I couldn't tell you what's going on at the Ryman this week.
Not too worried about getting that expense.
Okay. Uber's before 11 p.m. Now, think about this. Arkansas
before 11.
Before
11.
Before 11. Think about this. Arkansas will conclude its game probably around 10:30 on Wednesday night, 10:30 on Thursday night. They win. So
now, how are you arriving to the tournament? Are you flying?
Driving.
You're driving.
Correct. But it's,
so you're wanting permission for an Uber when you have a car.
But it's going to be a zoo down there, so I'm not like there's going to be no.
You have media parking.
Okay, then
you have media parking.
But you have to drive to like the stadium and they shuttle you over. That's just too much of an hassle.
Drive you right to your car. Yeah, I'm going to go.
What about Uber's after 11?
Oh, definitely.
Absolutely not.
No.
Well, you're not getting anything.
He didn't ask for anything like gas or food.
I know.
Well,
your
that's
point.
That's that. What? Okay, gas.
Gas. Yeah.
All right, good. I was happy about
you're
that.
You're 2 for 5.
Is that where we're at right now? Okay. Concerts. Have you been on a pedal tavern, Tommy?
I know what these are.
Okay.
I have not because it looks like a lot of work, but it could be a lot of fun. I know exactly what you're talking about, though.
So is it expensible?
No?
I was excited about that. Okay, parking. I've already talked about potentially assaulting a Kentucky fan. You say bail, yes, but no on the lawyer fees. That's
right.
Just too much.
It's too unknown.
Nashville is known for its hot chicken.
Oh,
I can expense that.
I don't even need to hear any more.
Let's
chicken.
Go.
Yeah.
This so Phil.
How many hot chicken sandwiches do you think you could throw down?
Decent amount, probably 3 or 4.
Ooh.
For all as talented as Phil is, for as much as I love him, I am still ashamed that he has not fulfilled his side of the bet. So we had
this one where he had to eat the hot wings or
He still hadn't done it. He said he was gonna do it, he hadn't gotten around to it. So Jenkins, we did and you need to do this with him.
Yeah.
The betting stuff. And we need to think of something that we'll do with Fence Man Picks by the end of the season. Something that's not the winner doesn't get, but the loser has to do.
Yeah.
Between me and you. Not
something
Clay.
Shameful.
Exactly. So
we need to involve Clay.
Yeah. You think so?
Oh, absolutely.
Clay won't do it though.
He might.
So the first go around we did, Jenkins, is we had the polar bear punch. And it was luckily Tua Tagovailoa threw an interception and that guided me to win. That's why when we were sitting with Blair
Watering hole. Crazy.
I jumped up and started jumping up and down. And everyone's just looking at me. It's like, what is this guy doing? This past season, it was supposed to be Phil was supposed to eat the Reaper squeezing sauce, which is like not kilos, but like a million on the. There's a scale.
Yeah, Scoville unit.
Yeah. That's it. And so Phil was supposed to do that. Well, he never got around to it.
That could kill him. That could ruin his career.
He'd be okay. And so the second thing I brought up is, okay, all right, you're going to be in Nashville this week. Eat 4 chicken tenders of the shot. The cluck up, which is Hattie B's hottest sauce,
right.
And it's twice as much as the Reaper Squeeze. It's like 2 million or something, and he didn't do that
either. You're trying to kill Phil.
We agreed on this earlier, prior to the season. Like that's part of the idea, and so he hasn't did. So if you're going to Nashville this weekend or this week for the SEC tournament, get some hot chicken down there.
All right, so we'll go with hot chicken.
Okay, hot chicken's good. What about boots? They have a boot store down there that's, hey, listen, it's think about this. It's buy one, get 2 free.
Ooh.
So really, you're making money.
So you end up with a left one and 2 rights?
No, you get pairs. Three pairs of boots. So they're only like $99.
So you could bring me and Tommy back a pair too.
Yeah, think about that.
You really want him picking your boots out though.
Well, they probably ain't got the size of my boots in the store.
Yeah. You're 16s, right?
Yeah.
Dude,
you wear size 16?
16 in boots.
Oof.
This store is massive. I could figure it. But think about that. It could be a gift from the radio station to you.
I love how you're, all right, we'll go for that.
Yeah. All right. I'm holding you to that.
10 D's, by the way.
Ten
Davids for me.
If I come back with an expense report and it has $99 from the boot store on Broadway, I'm expecting to get fully reimbursed for that.
It's only going to be hinging on whether or not I get the boots.
Yeah.
Too.
You get a boot, yeah. I get a boot.
Everybody
I get
gets
a boot.
Boots.
How
Everyone
good could boot. The boots be when they're 3 for $99? I don't know how good the boots are going to be.
Well, we'll find out when you get them back. All right. So I don't own a cowboy hat. Can I expense
I don't
a cowboy
know that,
hat
no,
down
I'm
there?
I'm going to say no because I don't think that's going to be very authentic. I don't think you're going to be able to. I mean, your whole goal is to impress Madison, right? From The Bachelor.
You don't think I can do that
I don't
with a cowboy
think you,
hat?
I don't. Really, I don't think you can do it, period.
Okay.
But I think the cowboy hat really will set your game back.
I'll give you a little faith on it.
Okay. Well, one of the things I was going to ask, whether it's Madison or another cutie down there in Nashville, is to go square dancing at one of the nights that if Arkansas was not going to participate in one of these games, they were knocked out.
There are no bye nights, yeah.
So would, and I'm forgetting, Gary from Fort Smith, I was talking to him about this yesterday at Planet Fitness because he used to go there for work. It's not honky tonk, it's a. Wild Horse Saloon. They have square dance in there.
Right.
Nights. Do I get that cover expense?
You would fit square dancing. I mean, that defines you. You would be a square dancing. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not too worried about this because it would, again, involve you engaging and initiating conversation with a female. And I don't think I'm going to have to worry about this
one. So, speaking of dancing and me being a square while I'm dancing, what I do on the dance floor typically at a wedding, in a public forum, in a place or whatever, is I follow the Kevin James Hitch theory. You seen Hitch?
No, I've not seen
Will Smith. Right. So all he does, not have you seen Hitch?
Yeah, Jenkins? I've seen Hitch.
All right. So you remember when he would do like the pizza and the sprinkler and all that? No. I go six inches back and forth, snapping my fingers.
Yeah.
Because
yep.
If I was actually to try and dance and
you're just swaying to the music.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And I have no business.
Slow dance and sway into the music.
Exactly. When Mom's weekend was this weekend up in Fayetteville, Mom grabbed me and started dancing with me, and I just kind of twirled a little bit and did the do-si-do or whatever. But
the do-si-do.
In terms of like fast dancing and stuff, I just snap my fingers a little faster, move back and forth.
Yeah.
Because I have no business trying to actually have rhythm throughout my body because it's hard to watch. It's
painful
to watch.
I'm not too worried about cover charges at big dance halls.
Okay. But it would still be expensive, right?
One.
Okay. So let's recap this.
How much is that, by the way? Maybe I should ask.
$5 or $10.
Okay, yeah, we're good.
Okay. So
maybe two then.
Going back over, Tommy is not expensing any of my Ubers.
He didn't ask one thing about gas or food other than the hot chicken.
I said, okay, food.
All right.
Is food?
Well, there's a media room there, so, you know, you need to eat. They'll have some rubber chicken and green beans back there.
Okay.
So you're trying to eat healthy. We want to keep you healthy.
That's a good point. Good point. Growing boy. So boots. We're getting boots for the whole Morning Rush crew here.
So,
$3 for $99.
Only if they're the right size and they look good. Other than that, you're on your own.
You're going to be like flabbergasted when I come in on Monday morning with three pairs of boots. One size. What size are you? I'm a 9, 16.
10, David.
10. Okay. So 10, 9, 16. I can remember that. Brown, black. Got a color option choice?
Not the pointy toes.
Not the pointy toes?
Oh, that's old school.
You don't care?
Surprise me.
Surprise you? Okay.
These are full quill ostrich for $33 a pair, right?
I hope so.
Yeah. Double welt. Yeah, I'm sure they are.
No on the cowboy hat because you said I wouldn't fit in it.
I don't know if they make one big enough for your head.
That's a good point. The ego's too much. It keeps growing every day. Hot chicken, you said yes. Gas, you said yes.
Yeah, we'll have you have some gas.
You'll pay for my bail if I assault in a Kentucky fit, but you will not pay for the lawyer fees associated if I pick up a charge.
Only if you win the fight.
Okay. Only if I win the fight. I'll remember that.
I think we're safe there, man.
Yeah.
On George Strait concert, you said yes.
Oh, absolutely. On a George Strait concert.
No, on the Pedal Taverns, and I got to walk across the bridge. Well, I guess they shuttle me, but it's going
to
be a while.
You have a parking pass.
Yeah.
You'll be parking on the sidewalk next to the arena.
So I'm leaving right after the show today because I got to make it to Nashville by 7 because that's the Bachelor finale tonight.
So you got to find a good place to eat in Memphis then today.
Yeah. I'm going to... I'm getting some barbecue. It'll be Central. It'll be Commissary. Or
Interstate?
Yeah. I got to hit it on the way.
Or Gus's Fried Chicken.
So,
ooh. Yeah.
Gus's is dang,
man,
too.
Man.
I'm glad you watched The Bachelor last night.
That's the best two they had off.
Your number one source of local news and information you need.
Bud Light Seltzer, 5% ABV and only 100 calories. We'd put it up against any other seltzer out there.